Praise the Lord. I'm Brother Tim Leonard. Look, Pastor left me something special here. Some plastic wrap and some chocolate chip cookies. And I got lunch. I don't know about you guys. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm rejoicing. You know, I was saved October the 10th, 1976. Okay? 50 years ago, brother. 50 years ago, I rode a bus to Sunday school. Was saved in the Sunday school hour. I never heard a preacher. I didn't hear a special or a choir sing. I didn't know anything about that. And I rode that bus that Sunday morning in Zephyr Hills, Florida, to Bible Baptist Church and trusted Christ as my Savior there in that Sunday school classroom. And, you know, I'm rejoicing for God's people that teach Sunday school. Amen. And for God's people that bring children into church and bring visitors into church. This year is 50 years for me. That's the year of the Jubilee. And tonight, the Lord willing, God being my help, I'm going to preach on the year of the Jubilee tonight and see what the Lord has for us for there. I think it'll be great. I think it'll be great. I really haven't used this sermon before, so I'll try it out on you tonight and see how it does. If it does well, I'll use it on. And if not, you know, I'll just push it in there with the others. All the others. And anyway, the Lord's been so great to me. You know, it was in that church. It was in that church that a few years later, three years later, my wife Roxanne came in the back door of the church. Her and her family visiting the church, and I was sitting up here in the front and turned around and saw the family come in the church door, you know, a little small church, everybody, who's that, you know? And I said to my friend Danny, I said, Danny, I'm going to marry that girl. And yeah, 3 or 4 years later when she asked me to marry her, I mean, that was such a day, amen? But I'm going to preach today on the greatest day of my life. The greatest day of my life. And that was the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, we left a few prayer cards out in the foyer and so forth, and there's some around. I want you to get some and remember us. The Lord called me to preach 47 years ago and went a little while, and then I attended Tabernacle Bible College in Greenville, South Carolina. And that's where I got my accent, in South Carolina. And then I joined BIMI. And that was 38 years ago I joined BIMI. And Roxanne and I left and went to Jamaica and worked there in the island of Jamaica, starting churches and helping to establish churches there. We worked in White River. We worked in Falmouth. And we worked outside of Montego Bay in Johns Hall. Starting churches and building churches and helping the national pastors in the work. And we were there for a number of long years. And I wish I could tell you every day that we were there was great. It wasn't. Some days were bad. But I rejoice in what God had used us to do there. And then BIMI asked us to come to the home office, and we've been now at the home office way back since about 2003, I think, and over 20 years now. And the pastor wanted me to make sure he understood what I did at the home office. And what I do there, I work with, my title is Missionary Services, okay? I can also be called a representative of BIMI, but Missionary Services. I'm not a director as such. I'm sort of one of those guys that's in there in between all that, you know. And but with that, what I do is I help our missionaries everything they need when they're coming, when they're going. If they need help find a vehicle, if they need housing, whatever, if they need a ride to the airport, if they need something packed and shipped to them. Okay, those are the kinds of things I do. Now, also, maintain and manage our facilities. We have quite a campus there. We have 88 acres with a 40,000 square foot office complex in which we have motel-like rooms, 23 of them. For some of you have been there and seen that, so I take care of all that, keep that going. And then the warehouse, I deal with that, and vehicles. And then we have, by the good grace of God, 17 retirement homes for our missionaries, our senior missionaries. And I'm involved in that, and I've built most of those and been involved in that, and I manage and take care of those things. So the Lord's been really good to me. But I wouldn't want you to think I just do that. The Lord called me to preach. And I've been preaching all these years. And I think preaching is primary in any minister's duties, okay? It's paramount. He must preach. If God's called you to preach, you must preach. And the Lord's given me great opportunities to do that. And I've preached in a lot of different countries and traveled with BIMI, the Bible projects and different things we've done. And over the years, God has done some great things in my life just because somebody came by and took this teenage boy to church on a Sunday morning. And just because a Sunday school teacher led me to Christ. What a day. What a day that was. What a day that was. And the Lord, and I'm thankful for the Lord using me and my wife all these years. But you know, the Lord's not done with us. We're not ready to retire, okay? No, we're staying right at it. And we're thankful for what God can do and is doing in our life. And we'll tell you a little more about that tonight. This morning, though, we find our text in the book of Titus. The book of Titus in chapter number 1. The book of Titus in chapter number 1. Now, I met a brother this morning who told me his name was Titus, okay? And I think he's sitting back in the back over here. And but this book here is a tremendous book of the New Testament. You know, when I got saved, I didn't have a Bible. Okay? Not many bus kids did. When I got saved, I didn't have a Bible. And I didn't know there was a New Testament and an Old Testament. I didn't know anything about the 12 tribes of Israel. I didn't know anything, okay, about church. And my pastor, after I got saved a couple of weeks later, I guess he had noticed I'd come to church the next few times. And when he gave the text, I never opened the Bible because I didn't have one. And he came by the house one day and he gave me a Bible. And he said, "Now, Tim, I want you to read it every day." And I looked at this big book and I said, "Wow, you want me to read this whole book every day?" You know, I didn't know. So he opened up the Bible, put a place in there, and said, "No, I want you to start right here. See how it's divided into chapters? Just read one chapter a day." You know, that was a wonderful advice from my pastor. You know, you'll do well to do that today. Now, some of you that have been Christians a very long time still struggle with your daily reading of God's Word. You should spend time reading God's Word. The book of Titus is the 56th book in your Bible, okay? Has three short chapters, about 900 words. Has, I think, 46 verses in it. And we're going to speak this morning from just the first four verses. Now, we're going to move right down through there, okay? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in there. The key word in the book of Titus, for you that are Bible students, is the word sound. The word sound means good health. Speaks about a safe place, safe and sound. We've heard that saying. Okay, it speaks of wholesome. And it speaks of altogether or strong. And we find it's a key in the book of Titus. Paul's writing to young Titus. Now, Titus was one of those missionary pastor fellows. He traveled with the Apostle Paul on the journeys. And somewhere along the line, he met Paul and trusted Christ as his Savior and began to travel with Paul. And now Titus was not a Hebrew boy. Okay? His name and his upbringing and so forth gives the idea that he was not Jewish. Okay? But he traveled with Paul. And eventually he ended up back in Jerusalem with Paul on that journey. And during that time, there were some conquests, some difficulties and things. He came back with Paul to say to the church at Jerusalem, "Listen, the Gentiles that believe don't have to keep the Jewish law," okay? And all that took place. And you can read about that in the book of Acts. But our text this morning, I want to discover some other things that we'll find here in this book and in this text. Now, our text is this. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning for your grace in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your people gathered in here this morning to hear your word. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray that you'll encourage them and enrich them. Lord, and I pray that you'll enlighten them from your word. Lord, we love you and we commit this time to you. In the name of Jesus, we're worshiping. So we look today to the book of Titus. I told you that it's the book of sound doctrine. We find to be sound, we must be free of disease. We must be free of defect, and we must be free of decay. To be sound in our doctrine, every preacher, every church, every missionary should be solid in their doctrine. They should know what they believe and believe what they know. Every Christian, we ought to be stable in our doctrine. We ought to be sincere and sensible in our doctrine. You know, we live in a time and a day and an age where you hear all kinds of strange things. And I've heard all kinds of strange things. And when you're out in the community, you hear people and they'll you start witnessing to them and they come up with things you've never heard before. And you say, wow, I don't know where is that coming from, okay? That's not Bible. That's not in the Scriptures. Listen, to be sound has to do with our faith. We ought to have healthy faith, strong faith, hard faith, undisturbed faith. Has to do with our speech. In the book of Titus, it's Paul writes to Timothy or to Titus and tells him that you're to be sound in your speech. Now, as pastors alluded to, I'm a man that enjoys life, okay? And I like to have a good time. I like to be involved in things, and I like to work around with people and see what's going on in their lives, you know, by how they react to things, huh? And I've been known to, you know, have a little fun on people sometimes. And at the expense, and you know why Pastor always looks for me first when he comes to BIMI? He wants to know which room he's getting this year. You know? He's going to get the one next to the generator, you know? He's going to get the one next to, if we had an elevator, I'd give him the one next to the elevator, okay? No. But, you know, fun is good. And I think Christians ought to enjoy life. But when we talk about sound speech that cannot be disputed, okay? In Titus, Paul talks about those gainsayers. And he's to have sound speech that he can confront them and say, now, wait a minute. What you're saying is wrong. And show it from the Bible. That's what he's talking about, sound speech. Paul, a servant of God. You know, to be a servant is an amazing thing. A servant has no rights. He doesn't possess anything. He doesn't own anything. And a lot of times you'll hear people talk about, well, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let's be real careful now. Understand that if you declare about yourself, I'm a servant of the Lord, I no longer own myself.
I no longer have a choice in what I'm to do, because I'm to do what the Master tells me to do. Titus says this, he says, or Paul says this, I'm a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. And why, we could spend a long time right there helping some people. Okay? You know who's God's elect is? There was a vote one day in heaven before the foundations of the world, and God said, I'll save them. And God says, I vote for that. And God says, I vote for that. Yes, 100%. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, but God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. God loves everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave. And you want to talk about election, there it is. God voted to save everybody. And He made a way for everybody in the world to come to know Him as their Savior. What a thought. We're not going to spend much time there. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Man, don't we live in a generation where people reject the truth and won't even acknowledge it when it's proven to them? Huh? We can go back through all the biblical proofs. You could talk about the archaeological proofs. You could talk about the historical proofs. You could talk about the literary proofs that are found throughout the Scriptures. And people, they deny it. They said, oh, that can't be true. They say there's no ark. There was no David. There was no Noah. There was no Daniel. Boy, they just denying all the truth that's there. So they want to deny it. And He says, according to the acknowledging of the truth, Jesus said about Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I'm rejoicing here to tell you that the truth, which is after godliness. Couldn't we preach on godliness a while this morning? Why, we could. Godliness. You know, godliness is more than how we dress, you know, or the places we go. It's an inward work that comes out on the outside. Godliness. Now in verse number 2, we find our place. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God that promised, that God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Paul's writing to Titus, and he says to Titus, I want you to go here to this island. We were there. We started a church. I want you to go and to establish them and build that church up. And after these things, introduction thoughts, he says, in hope of eternal life. Aren't you glad that you've been given eternal life? Eternal life is an amazing thing. We find it mentioned all through the Scriptures. We find that it mentioned all through the Scriptures, and especially in the New Testament. Especially in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 16, the first mention of eternal life is given in the New Testament, where He says this, and behold, one came unto Him and said, good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the first time it's mentioned. Of course, in John chapter 3, it's mentioned. Romans chapter number 5, it says that as sin reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find in Romans 6 and 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we're talking to people about salvation, we need to let them understand and know that we're talking about living forever with God Almighty. Eternal life. It isn't just a little while. It's a long time. Huh? It's a long time. The Bible also talks in 1 John, and this is the promise that he hath promised us in chapter 1, verse 4, even eternal life. These things, he says, John writes, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. We speak about the promise that's given here, the hope of eternal life, which God that promised cannot lie. The promise that He has given to you and I is eternal life. Now, you know, there's some times I've promised people things and I couldn't deliver. I mean, things, circumstances, whatever happened, and I just couldn't deliver. But I tell you this, God's not like me. When He makes a promise, you can count on it. You can be assured of it. When He has made a promise to you that if you'll repent of your sin, turn from your wicked way, and trust Christ as your Savior, redemption will follow and He will save you. The promise is sure. The promise is sure. Somebody said, not only that, notice what else it says to me here about this. He has promised eternal life before the world began. I preach a lot about missions. And I do not think that everybody should go to the mission field, Pastor. I think only Christians should go. Okay? I think only Christians should go. Young people, I would charge you today, there's no greater thing that you can do with your life than to give it to Christ in His service. If that involves going to a foreign mission field, that's wonderful. But give your life to Christ in His service. The old time preachers, they preached about salvation, didn't they? Huh? They talked about surrendering to God. They talked about serving God. And so Paul writes to Titus. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world of began. God, it has always been God's plan to redeem mankind. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm kind of developing this in my thinking. In Jerusalem one day, Jesus stood on the temple steps, right, shortly before His crucifixion, and he said, I am the light of the world. Remember that? That's what He said. John says something about it in 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the light, life was the light of the world. I was thinking about this, and I don't really know how to get this all together. You see, I never went to Sunday school when I was a boy. When I got to college, they put me in Hebrew history class. First term, first week, first year. Hebrew history. Why, that's old. Boy, I struggled. I'm telling you, I struggled. All them other preacher boys knew everything about Daniel in the lion's den. I didn't know anything about Daniel, let alone about being in the lion's den, okay? I didn't know. I may have read it through one time or something, but I had no concept of it. So we're talking about the light. But in the garden, when man sinned, the Bible says, wherefore is man one man sin entered into the world and death by sin? When Adam sinned, the penalty for sin was death, and the penalty for sin was removal from the garden. And the Bible says there that He put an angel with a flaming sword that turned every which way. Something like that. And so we find that there was an angel there with a sword. And you know, that was a flaming sword. It was a light. It was a torch. And I've often wondered if Adam, way off in the distance, sweating and working and plowing and trying to make a living. And every evening he'd come in, he'd look out there way off in the distance. There was the light flickering, the light of the world, the promise. And Jesus stood on the steps and said, I am that light. I'm the way. Are you with me? I am the way back home. So we find here hope of eternal life. But hath in this in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God. Now I want to tell you something about preaching. It's God's plan through preaching that people understand the scriptures. He said, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel. He's given us a commission. I remember reading about Christ when he sat down in the synagogue one day and they gave him a portion of scripture and he opened it up and he read out of Isaiah, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. I want to tell you something about the preachers of the cross. Luke writes about that and records that. And he records it like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, your pastor, he's your preacher. He's preaching the gospel. And when he talks about the poor, he's not talking about monetarily, okay? He's talking about the people that are poor are the people that are destitute of the gospel. Okay? They don't have any opportunity. They've never heard. He speaks about salvation here. For he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I told you a while ago, I was saved 50 years ago. Church. Now listen, I've been in church a long time. I've been in a lot of churches. I've been in churches all around the world. Okay? I've been in ministry. I know. I'm telling you. Sometimes in church. Are you holding on? Sometimes in church, you can get hurt. Somebody will say something to you and you'll say, I can't believe they'd say that to me. Huh? Sometimes people do things to you. Huh? All kinds of things. Sometimes you just take it the wrong way. Okay? You can get hurt. Why, that preacher, he didn't even shake my hand today. Doesn't he love me anymore? Okay, I'm just telling you. Okay? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to tell you, church, this is a place that ought to be a place of healing of brokenhearted people. If you've been saved any period of time, your heart's been broken. And this is a place where the preacher can help you. This is a place where the scriptures can help you. This is a place where Christ can help you. Don't go through life with a broken heart. To preach deliverance to the captives. Don't we like that? He set me free. I'm free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of Satan. I'm free from the bondage of sacraments because I've been set free by the gospel. He that the Son has set free shall be free indeed. Deliverance of the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, Luke writes. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God he delivered me. We had a lady in our church, our first church in Jamaica, Miss Ventress. She couldn't read or write. Okay? When testimony came, time came, she'd stand up in church and she'd say, thank God I'm free. He set me free. And sometimes I'd go by her house, a little house that she lived in, and she'd say, Pastor, will you read to me? Okay? And she'd take her little Bible out, and I'd sit down there and just read to her.
Now you say, now, Brother Tim, didn't you have better things to do on the mission field than that? Okay? Didn't you need to go to the school and preach to 500 kids? Didn't you need to go do this? No. What God sent me there to do was to help her that day. Now, and often she'd say, Pastor, can you come by this week? And I know what she wanted. She wanted me to come by and just sit on her little stoop in front of her house and read to her. What a thought. What a privilege it was. The recovering of the sight of the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Man, Paul says to Titus, preach. You know what he wrote to young Timothy? He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. We're to preach the word. Now, I enjoy good preaching. But I want to tell you something about preaching. Sometimes preaching can lead off away from the word of God. If it's not the word of God and it's not the preaching of God's word, it's not centered on God's word, it's not God's kind of preaching. Okay? I stopped the other day in my travels. I was engaged in the evening meeting, and Sunday morning I was traveling and I trying to break the day up, you know, because I knew it'd be a long day. So I got my little thing out, you know, and figured out where there was a church and on close route, you know, and I figured my time out. And I said, I'll get there right in time for preaching hour, right? That's a good thing, right? You won't be late. So I figured it out, and I got there, and I was late. Church already started, singing was already going on. I said, well, okay. So I came in. I sat down in the back, okay, over on that side, you know, and they were just finishing the last song before the preacher preached, you know. And he started preaching. Now, this was in the book, it was an independent, fundamental, premillennial, storehouse, tithing, Baptist church, okay? And he started preaching. And you know, he never opened a Bible, never read a text, okay? I don't know what his message was about, okay? It didn't convict me, it didn't convert me, it didn't help me, okay? I needed something from God's Word. And I thought to myself, wow, is that what this church is about? No. The preaching ought to be about God's Word. He began to preach to them. He said to Titus, preach. Preach, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God. Then we're not going to spend much time there. We're going to move down. Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. The preachers of the cross. To preach, to proclaim, to practice. The word of God is our life. And he says here, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Faith, the common faith. You know, faith is common. Faith is common. There's a great thing I want you to think about when we talk about faith. You know, we hear this term sometimes, oh, they're people of faith. Well, I don't know what they got faith in because they don't act and believe like Christians. Okay? They're not doing what the Bible says. How can they be people of faith? I don't know. Well, that's the devil and his crowd. That's what they talk about. But we, as believers, are people of faith. The true faith. Here it says, Titus, my own son, after the common faith. He gives us three things. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul writes to Titus and says, look, you need three things in your preaching. You need three things. He said you need grace. You need to preach about God's grace. That's an amazing subject, the grace of God. God has chosen to save you. He elected to save you. To use a Bible term, okay? He chose to save you. You need to accept His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, is a good gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he speaks here about mercy.
and he speaks about peace. The Bible tells us a lot about grace. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversations in times past, lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. But God, who is rich in mercy." Isn't that something? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." By grace, Paul writes to the Ephesians, you are saved. But I want to tell you, it's because of the mercy of God. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. That Sunday morning, October the 10th, 1976, when I sat in that Sunday school classroom, I'm sure that that Sunday school teacher, Tim McMillan, changed his Sunday school lesson just to talk about this eternal punishment that I was going to get for my wicked ways and that everybody was going to get, and that place was called hell. Boy, I mean, he just opened up the Bible. Now, I'd never hardly heard that word except when somebody was cussing, you know, or cursing. And he said, "Preach to them grace. Preach to them the mercy of God." Then he said, "Preach to them the peace of God." You know, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law. Jesus said, John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's three things I'd like to tell you about peace. First of all, personal peace only comes from God. There's peace to be made with God. When you make peace with God, you're no longer his enemy. There's peace in your life. One of these days, there's the peace of God. And when the peace of God dwells in your heart, the things of this world and the circumstances and the problems and the predicaments and the people of this world don't disturb you because you have the peace of God in your heart. Then one of these days, there'll be a peace of God made by God. The Bible tells me that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice, the archangel, and with the trump of God. The Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One preacher said, "That's how I know the Baptist people are going to rise first." Yeah. But I tell you, I love God's people. And I'm so glad that he has promised us eternal life. "This life have I given unto you." What a gift from God. What a gift. What a privilege. But you know, beyond a privilege and a gift, what a responsibility we have. How can we daily, see people passing by us that have no peace? They don't understand. They've never heard, never had an opportunity. They don't know Christ as their Savior. And you know, we talk about foreign missions, but I'm telling you something. Right here where we are in Ohio, people need the Lord. People need to know. And it's the responsibility of the missionary, yes. But it's the responsibility of the people of the church.
He says, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both here in Jerusalem, right where you're at, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Our Father, we thank you for peace that you've given us. We thank you for your people. Lord, they're so attentive. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you might bless them and encourage them. Lord, they've been a blessing and an encouragement to me this morning. Father, and as we stand and give the invitation, I pray, Lord, that you'll help God's people to respond to your word according to your way, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.